Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise, honor and glory for the gift of your Holy Spirit who opens us up to your word and opens your word to us. Live in us, Lord Jesus, that we may always live in you. In your name we pray. Amen. We continue our family devotionals for Sunday, December 13th. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. The thing about pregnancy is, it comes to an end. Nobody has ever stayed pregnant forever, though it feels like it sometimes. I remember when I first found out I was pregnant, suddenly my world turned into a relentless countdown to birth. There was no way out. It was a one-way ride that would end sometime in May. I was overjoyed, but also terrified. I wondered if Elizabeth felt like that facing childbirth. I wonder if you feel like that facing something that has a predestined end, either good or bad. The days before you start a new job, the senior year of a son or daughter, the final days of a loved one. Waiting is rarely easy, and God knows it. Maybe that's why he has given us so many good things to get us through. His promise, his word, the Lord's Supper, each other. Best of all, he's given us his own son, Jesus, our long-awaited Savior. But we could have no better companion during these days. He loves us, he has redeemed us, and he will never leave us alone. We can bear our waiting one day at a time, leaning on his strength. Waiting. Waiting is hard. And it seems like today, that's all we got to do is wait. Waiting on COVID to end, waiting on life to get to back to a sense of normal. I say air quotes normal because who knows what that's going to look like. Waiting as a loved one is diagnosed with COVID, waiting on a loved one who's dying from COVID, waiting on our financial situations and our job situations, waiting to see what's going to really happen with our political situation in our country, waiting on a cancer diagnosis, waiting on loved ones that we're having trouble with to try to resolve whatever conflict we're having, waiting, waiting, waiting. And waiting is hard. Waiting is frustrating. Waiting can be lonely. Waiting can be taxing. And yet we wait. You see, kind of that's what the Advent season is all about. It's a season of anticipation and waiting. Just like in the story of Jesus, as Mary and as Elizabeth and as all the wonderful characters in the story waited for this promised Jesus to come and be born. Even before that, the people of the Old Testament, the Hebrew people, waiting for God's redemption to be revealed in the Messiah who was to come. Waiting. And why sometimes there is excitement in waiting and it's okay to wait, like on Christmas morning to open our gift, a lot of times waiting is still impatient, even when there's a good end. And yet we wait. Advent is also a season of waiting and anticipation for the second coming of Jesus, for his return as Savior to take us home to be with him in the glorious gift of heaven forever, because he has died for our sins and risen for our eternal life. This is what God has done for us in Jesus, and yet we wait in a miserable existence in this world. And as we wait in this miserable existence, as we wait as things go wrong, as we wait as we raise children, as we wait as to see what they're going to do with their lives, as we wait in all of these situations, sometimes all we can see is the bad, because we're human and we're sinful. We know God's promises here, right? But we don't feel them here. We know what God says, that we will live forever, but we don't experience it here. We know that God says all things will work out for his good, but we can't experience it here because Satan and this world is squelching the hope of Jesus. And all we see is bad. I say that if you look for bad, that's what you will find, and you will always see bad. And that's exactly where Satan wants us. Because we lose sight of Jesus and his promise in the tiny manger, his promise on the cross, his promise in the empty tomb, his promise in his word, his promise in our ministry to each other, his promise in the Lord's Supper, that I am with you always and that you will live forever. Now, I know it. Sometimes it's hard to see the positive things in this world. I get that. Sometimes it's very hard in the midst of the suffering we go through to see any good outcome. But I want to challenge you to see this. God's word and his sacraments point to one thing that matters and one thing only. That God has already worked out everything for our good and our benefit. And that is eternal life in heaven for you. Oh, come on, Pastor. Nobody wants to die. I don't know if that's true. I think people, those of faith, look forward to the day of seeing Jesus, but maybe we're afraid of how we'll die, and that's okay. But the reality is, and the simple truth is, no matter what we face in this world, there is still good in the end. Good triumphs over evil. Good triumphs over Satan. And that is through the redemption of Jesus Christ for your sins and salvation now and forever. No matter how bleak or dismal how this world may seem, we have hope and anticipation to look forward to, a gift that is wrapped for you and for me, a gift of eternal life, because we will live in heaven. And there is no more trouble or hardship or sickness or death or illness or anything evil, no COVID, nothing that can harm our lives anymore. I know this sounds futile. I know this sounds simplistic, but that is the hope of Christianity. That is the only hope and rock and steadfast thing that gets us through this world, knowing we're going to heaven and rejoicing in it now. And I guarantee you, and I promise you, Satan flees from that. Though hardship and trouble will still be with you, you will see things differently with joy and thanksgiving. As St. Paul says, rejoice and give thanks in all circumstances. That comes through fixing our eyes on the hope of heaven and eternal life that Jesus has given us. And resting in his promise, things have already worked out for our good and benefit, because heaven is our home. Heaven is our home. And then and only then, we come to find peace in the midst of the hell and crap we go through in this world. And we remember, I've said this before, peace is not the absence of trouble in our lives. Peace is the presence of Jesus in our lives. Because he promises to be with us forever, no matter what. He promises to be with us forever, to walk by our side, to hold and uplift us, and even to walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. For we will fear no evil, for he is with us. My prayer is that as God's people, we begin to grasp the power of kingdom thinking. Kingdom thinking is grasping that eternal life is ours right now and yet to come. For when we live in God's eternity and heaven now, nothing in this world can bring us down. It may be hard, but nothing can take away our joy and peace. For that's what Jesus means to us. And on this third Sunday of Advent, when we light the pink candle, it is the Sunday of rejoicing, which calls us to rejoice always. Again, I will say, rejoice. In the name of Jesus, amen.